And they're like, but you're from Canada, right? And I
Yeah.
was like, yes. And you're still processing it. And you're like, so you're a snow Mexican.
No.
I never heard that one, but okay.
I know, me too. I've never heard that one before.
I think all dressed up, did my eyebrows and everything.
Yes.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome. Dude, we're so excited to do this podcast. Well, welcome and thank you so much for watching and listening to your favorite podcast. This is your favorite podcast. This is the Maximum Filipino Show. Right now, man, we've been really busy doing all these podcasts.
Right?
We have like guests, amazing guests. And right now, you can already, you know, see our guests on the screen. And man, I saw our guests on TikTok, and most of our guests I've seen them on TikTok.
Yeah.
But when I saw the content that, you know, that he posted, and was like, man, these are awesome, and I love every single one of them, and they're interesting, and I was like, at first, I gotta be honest with you. Well, let me introduce him first. This is the most amazing.
He got too excited.
Very. I'm gonna say this, and you might get mad saying this. He's very sassy, but he's
okay.
So right. He's so sassy, but a very interesting, amazing, all powerful Matt Mally. What's up, man?
Hi. What's up? Yes. What's up?
Hello. Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
You probably
what
didn't expect
introduction.
That. I didn't expect that at all. Not at all.
No, I'm sick.
Yo.
I'm so used to the accolades being a lot different than that.
No, because the very first
sassy.
No, because the very first TikTok video that I saw you, and I was like, man, I gotta invite him in our podcast. Is the one where you making like the just straight serious face, and you know you're saying about toxic Filipino trait and things like that. And yeah. I mean, at first when I saw you, when I looked at you, I'm like, he kind of looked Filipino, but it's like, no, he's gotta be Filipino, you know. He's gotta be Filipino. Look at him. It's like he's awesome. He's gotta be Filipino. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, just despite being full-blooded Filipino, I feel like sometimes my appearance is still like very ambiguous.
Yeah.
Just like I think when we think of the Filipino archetype, we think of like the obese snapback and like.
No, seriously though.
Like Jordan 3s.
Like, right? Right?
Someone named like Junjun Ramirez.
Ah, Junjun. Like, yeah, yes. Like... Is Junjun, you think Junjun is like the Jose in Mexicans or Steve in America? Yeah. He's got to be, right? Junjun is like the most common name or nickname in the Philippines. Oh, Junjun. Yeah. I asked all of our guests this, right? Because we're not a big account yet on TikTok and YouTube and things like that. Hopefully someday. But why did you say yes? Why? What made you say yes to do this podcast?
Ooh. In a way that doesn't self-inflate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to use my own ego. This is the third time that I've been interviewed this year.
Yeah.
And the reason why I keep saying yes is because like every single person that has said yes so far is invested in like their content revolves around something that like I'm so attracted to.
Yeah.
So the first one was the Green Line Toronto, which is basically some social equity content channel from Toronto. And I'm all about racial equity, especially as an Asian living in like COVID. And then the second time that I got asked to stream, it was actually with Microsoft.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm. Really
nice.
Yeah. And it was it's because I'm a designer, and
okay,
people wanted
okay.
to know what being a designer in the tech industry was like, and like how I came about that. And like I'm very like, especially as an Asian kid, like usually they're like, oh, you're going to be a doctor, huh?
You're going to be a nurse,
designer,
right?
You're going to do a
yes.
So this is like, do you know what I mean? So when I had the opportunity to talk about like what being, like what pursuing a creative career is like as an Asian kid, and like you guys are like very much like creators as well.
Yeah,
and I'm sure like
yeah.
that's a difficult or weird thing to
oh,
explain.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And then like when I made that video, the third video, you have to understand like TikTok hates me. So like more than like 70% of the time, I feel like I'm shadow banned, which is just like a very long, a short way of saying that like the TikTok algorithm has deemed you like not cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't like push out your content. So up until that point, my views were like a few thousand, maybe 100 likes, nothing crazy. And I posted that video actually under like the assumption that it gets swept under the rug. I get to like share my opinion and no one hears about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a week later, it has 300,000 views.
Dude, right?
Wow. And I was like,
and like, I'm finding like 3,000 comments of people who feel the exact same way. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
this was a lot. This turned out to be a lot more than just ranting. But the reason why I'm saying yes, that this is a very long-winded way of saying of answering your question. We don't have enough stories or channels to talk about the diaspora of being Filipino.
Yeah.
You being in Michigan and me being in Canada, like there is not enough content about this journey, and for us to talk about that is like super meaningful to me.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I repeat, I say this all the time, and every time we have a, you know, every time we have a guest, we tell them that the reason why TMFS or the Maximum Filipino Show started because we want to showcase Filipinos, you know, all around the world, whether content creation or whatever it may be, because we believe that we're more than just our stereotype. You know, Filipinos are way more than our just stereotypes. Waka over here, he's not Filipino, but he's Filipino at heart.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. What's your ethnicity?
I'm Samoan. I don't know if you're
let's familiar. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Dude. Awesome. Dude, we're like we watched this TikTok video. Filipinos are like Samoans of Asia. You know? Like so kinda, we're like you know what I mean? No, cause no, listen to this. So you know some Tagalogs, right?
Yeah, like, but it's some words are the same.
Yes.
Yeah,
so like the like our numbers, you know, isa.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting
the word for fire?
Fire? Afi.
Afi, yeah. Afi.
Apoy.
Apoy, yeah. Yeah, it's similar. Like, their five is lima.
Lima, yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, there's a lot of languages and the tattoos, Maui's, you know, some of the pagan tats, gods, are the same thing. So we're like, we're there, you know? Maybe not the size, but we're there.
Okay. Yes. But we all like smaller. To eat, so.
A lot shorter, way shorter. Well, explain to maybe to a lot of our people that's watching this video or listening to this podcast are confused of what was that video, that 300,000 video. Explain to them, because we know what that video is. Mm. But, yeah. You know, it would be better if you explain what was that video is about.
Mm-hmm. So my name is Maddie, but my alias on TikTok is Lil Info. I'm like a Filipino Asian content creator, and I made a video which was basically a 3-minute rant about some of the experiences that I've had as a Filipino living in the Philippines and also living here in Canada, and what the parallels were. And some of those experiences that I shared revolved around the frustrations of not feeling Filipino enough for the Filipinos that I met here in Canada and then the Filipinos that I met back home.
Wow.
And that frustration that the frustrations that I was experiencing was I felt like I constantly had to prove how Filipino I was.
Yeah.
Talking to Filipinos like in Canada, like but like when your Tagalog isn't like sufficient for them, they're like English nila.
Oh, really?
And it's like I'm trying.
Right.
Like, I know it hurts for you, but can we do this for you?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I remember living in the Philippines, and like I was born and raised speaking English and French here in Toronto. Like, I was put into a French school, like a French program, like. History and science were in French, like it's crazy. And then coming to the Philippines, like you could only imagine not being able to speak Tagalog, how that would change the perception of Filipinos towards me. And I remember once there was a conversation amongst my Filipino friends back in the Philippines, and they were using this slang word that I didn't understand. And I was like, what was that? Like, ano yun? And they basically said, pang Filipino lang yung pag-usapin.
Oh, wow.
Which basically means like, this conversation is for Filipinos.
Wow.
Yeah, like, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, man.
What do you mean by that? Yeah, or like one of the comments was like, "Diba Filipino mga magulang mo? Like, aren't your parents Filipino?
Yeah.
Like, bakit ganun? Like, why can't you speak Tagalog?" So it's just like that video talked a lot about like the failure of like Filipino parents to like teach their kids Tagalog here in the West. It called out a lot of like toxic culture of Filipinos that they have to recognize that there's a huge generation of kids like me who have been disconnected from their culture who are trying to claw their way back. So that's what that video was about. There was a lot of thoughts,
dude, but... like seriously though, the first time when I saw that video I had to stop and think. I'm like, am I acting like that, you know, or or it, not necessarily just me or the people like Filipinos around me, do I act like that when it comes to the Filipino Americans or Filipino Canadians or non, you know, non Filipino descent Filipinos outside of the Philippines, you know? And I contemplated and I realized, yeah, we actually subconsciously act like that towards other Filipinos, especially if they wasn't born in the Philippines and grew up somewhere else. And as soon as you hear that accent, you're like, yep, that's it, you know? Although we've been a big advocates of, if you're Filipino, if you think you're Filipino, you're Filipino. You're one of us. Yeah. You know, you like adobo, you like balut. Yeah, we'll you know, come and eat with us.
You're just with us.
All right.
Yeah, here's an honorary Filipino already.
When was the last time you came back and visit?
Oh man, it was 2016. So it was years ago. It was a while ago.
Wow.
And, I'm trying to go back this summer, to be honest.
Oh, have they opened their doors now?
Oh yeah. Because remember, my dad went there. Like.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I thought they closed it again.
Yeah. Where in the Philippines? Where in the Philippines are you from?
So my parents are from Green Hills, San Juan. So my father grew up like middle class.
Yeah.
And then my mom was from Antipolo, and she grew up poor with like 13 siblings.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Family of 13, which is crazy.
Right.
That sounds like someone's too. We have a big family.
Yeah.
13 kids. It's just regular. Yeah.
They all live in one house.
Yeah, so I was born and raised here in Toronto, but like the time spent in the Philippines was Quezon City, Pasig, huge metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
Tanauzao, which is like more provincial. And then this one tiny island called Mindoro, and then it was the western half called Mindoro Occidental. Mindoro is like a Spanish name, like a Spanish abbreviation of Mina de Oro, which means like gold mine.
I think I've been to Mindoro.
I went to Mindoro for we did a church planting there, and it was amazing. We went to, what was that, Galera is in Mindoro, right? Puerto Galera, I think it is in there. I'm pretty sure.
I think that's Mindoro Oriental.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it's Mindoro. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I know. Me too. It's been a while. Like, I'm terrible in geography too. Like, I can tell you a lot more places in America than in the Philippines. Unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, I think I've been to Mindoro. I can't remember, but it's a beautiful. It's a small island. You need to get on the ferry to get there, right?
Yeah, most islands in the Philippines are small.
Then plane and ferry.
Yeah. How was your very first experience going back to the Philippines? Do you remember?
Oh my God. Check your privilege at the door. Oh my gosh. So the first time I came to the Philippines was, I think it was like 12, 13.
Gotcha.
So old enough to like, to get it.
Yeah.
You're like, I was brought as a baby, but there's no recollection.
Right. Nah, yeah.
So,
I hear you.
Yeah. And then like, the first thing that you ever see when you come to the Philippines, as soon as you leave the Manila airport, it's like, why are we in traffic for 2 hours?
Oh man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just 5 kilometers away. Right. Why are we in traffic for 2 hours? And then like the next thing wasn't just the traffic in and of itself, but how traffic is organized. Like every like road lines, the suggestion.
Yes.
It was like so chaotic, but the only way I could explain it was like, it was organized chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone's I have to agree with that.
Do you know what I mean?
There's
lawless land. And 100%. Everyone's like,
yeah.
It's like ants.
Yeah.
We're all stuck in traffic, weaving our way. It was so crazy.
No, because I hear people, they complain all the time. Like, he's from California, right? He just moved there and lived with us for about over a year now. So he's in California. So he's aware of LA traffic. And when people complain people complain about LA traffic, I said, yeah. I mean, I get the LA traffic, but at least you guys follow, you know,
you
lanes.
Follow the line.
You know, you follow the lanes. But not in the Philippines. We make our own lane.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, and the bus drivers, man, they're like, I think they're the best bus drivers or drivers in the world. Not,
I agree, man. They know how to rule the streets.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's because they have their own lane, but still.
Yeah.
They're good.
And then what else? So you stayed in Manila. So you went in Manila. Is that where you stayed for the most part?
Oh, my first time, yeah. No, in Quezon City, yeah.
Okay.
I have to keep differentiating.
Right.
Just because sometimes the border seems so blurry. And I think, like, as a 12 to 13 year old, like, I think there was, like, my brain couldn't process. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, Mom, I was like, there's kids, like, lying down on the floor. Are they napping? And like my mom just like did this audible sigh, like,
yeah. Oh, I know.
I can just imagine.
They live there, and it's like, we live there. And then like just like living with my dad's side of the family, and then you enter like this air conditioned home,
mm-hmm.
and like it just completely escapes your mind. And you're like, that was weird. Like, yeah. We saw that for 2 hours. I had to go play Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, what are we going to do as a family? And they're like, oh, we're going to go to SM Mega Mall. Like, it's like this giant, like, five-story mall.
Right, yes.
All air conditioning. And everyone's there is, like, middle class.
Yeah.
So even that, like, the activities are, like, completely disconnected. So, like, when I was, like, as a kid, as a 12, 13-year-old, like, my visit to the Philippines was still narrow and wasn't representative of what it was really like. It wasn't until I was a lot older going to the Philippines and I got to see and live like in it, like sleeping on a foam mattress that's like this thick,
yeah, which is one of the most comfortable foam mattress you know that you can't ever sleep on.
Right.
Blood infections because you're getting eaten by the cockroaches. Like I got hospitalized for that like 3 times.
Yeah.
And then like, having to take your mattresses up to like the roof of a building and sleeping on the roof of the building because it's too hot inside.
Just
like, losing 20 pounds, like in just because you're like in the heat for like 8 to 10 hours a day and it's like 40 degrees Celsius. So.
Right.
So those two visits were. So it's in the second visit, I was still expecting like an air conditioned home and like, we're going to go to like this home.
Right.
Oh, you're going to.
No.
But that's the truth. That's the real picture.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So with that experiences that you had in the Philippines and based off the, because there's a lot of Filipinos in Canada, like, I think it's the second most populated Filipinos in Northern America, second to California. It's like California got to be the second Manila.
I would have thought it would be Hawaii.
No, like the North America, just the North America.
Oh, fair enough. You're right. North America.
Yeah, it's just got to be like, LA or California than Canada. So with that said, if you compare the Filipinos that are in Toronto or in Canada, the people around you, the Filipinos around you and the Filipinos that are in the Philippines, like, do you see any big difference in how they, not necessarily just approach you or how they live their life or how they act and things like that?
Well, what an excellent question. I want to talk about the similarities first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead.
At least with like first generation, like the people who first immigrate, the work ethic is like the same. Like it doesn't matter like that their opportunity, like I think there's this misunderstanding like once I come to Canada, like we're gonna be like super rich and like we're gonna be like upper middle class. It's not that way. And like a lot of Filipinos who come to Canada, like thinking that they're going to live in like a three acre mansion, end up lower middle class. And it's, things are still hard. It's just in like a nicer environment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like, they'll have like masters in economics from like the University of Philippines, but now they're like a janitor. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, I think that's the shock that a lot of Filipinos immigrating to Canada first experience. And like the hustle is like so real. And I think something clicks in their mind where it's like, I don't think I, as a parent, like that I'm going to make it, but I'm pretty sure if I hustle hard enough, my kids will.
Yeah.
Filipinos, like, so there, I wouldn't say there, there's much of like, there isn't a lot of classism that happens in like here in Canada amongst Filipinos. We're all like, we're not all balling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But like classism in the Philippines is like, you know, when someone's rich.
Yeah.
And it's like the top 5%.
Right.
Like, they're like whipping out like the biggest iPhone you've ever seen. And they'll only speak to you in English. And it's just like, there's a huge showy, like show off kind of culture with the rich in the Philippines. And I'm not sure how controversial it is, but I would prefer to meet someone who's hustling here in Canada, like getting a wake call than like, do you understand what I'm
right.
saying?
Right. Yeah. No, no, no. Absolutely. No,
we get it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's man, you, because we are the first generation immigrant here in America. So I've always wondered, and I've always want to talk to people who were born, you know, outside of the mm-hmm. Philippines, and who's really still in love with the Philippines, because I can tell the way you defend yourself and the way you defend Filipinos, even though you see this toxicity among Filipinos and all these bad things that happen that you experience in the Philippines, you're still in love with the Philippines, you know what I mean? And and I've always wondered that, like, what makes you wanna still love the Philippines, even though you only have, in comparison to your entire life, I could say about what, 10-15% of your entire life is just in the Philippines experience, you know what I mean?
Right.
But the rest is Canada. But yeah,
no, that's such a great point. I feel like, I remember as a kid, like when people would ask me like, what's your ethnicity, like what, like how do you identify, and I would respond like with pride and joy that I was Canadian first and foremost.
Oh wow.
Right.
They're like, aren't you like Asian? And I was like, I mean and then and like what a horrible trait, and kind of a result of being completely disconnected from my culture. I had no idea what it meant to be Filipino. Adobo slaps.
Yeah, right.
and don't eat the peppercorn.
Yeah.
But but like, once you live in the Philippines and you come home and you live amongst them, like if there's anything that like, if there's any motif or like driving theme, like overarching theme that I can use to describe Filipino, it's like surviving and like persevering and like difficult times.
Yeah.
And just like everything from like Jose Rizal fighting for independence and like the economic turmoil and the political turmoil. And it's just like, Filipinos will do anything to survive. And like, I fell in love with that trope coming back home. And just like, and it wasn't until I came home and I started speaking Tagalog to my parents, they would respond to me in English. And I was starting to realize that my Tagalog was better than my parents.
Oh wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, they had been in Canada now for what was then like 30 years. And I felt like, I was like, what do you think about like Filipinos? And they're like, oh, like, you know, like it's hard there. Like, mas maraming oportunidad dito. There's more opportunities here. Like, pangit dun. But like, my perspective was like, there's a beautiful people there. There's an amazing work ethic. And I felt like,
man,
after my experience there, like I knew what it meant to be Filipino.
Right.
While my parents were kind of losing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
man, I love your vibe. You are so just mellow and just chill.
But you got
you're so chill.
And you got a strong, pride to your country, dude.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm admiring your pride to your country and where you stand and how you portray yourself. I'm like, this guy's legit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This guy's good.
Were you sent there for like religious service?
For religious reasons, yeah. We went there I went to Bible school out there. I mean, mm-hmm. fresh out of high school, and I mean, I didn't know where to go to college, whether to go to regular or to Bible college. And then, long story short, went to Bible college out there, and that's where I met this guy.
Yeah. He was there for 4 years.
For 4 years. Been buddy for 10 years since then. Or more than 10 years, actually.
Way more than 10 years.
So where were both of you born?
So I was born in the Philippines. I was born in Bulacan, and I grew up in Manila. And we just moved here 2012. But yeah.
I was born and raised in California. I had a similar experience as you did, which I went back home to my native country, but at an older age, which forced me to be, keep it short and sweet. It humbled me to understand who my people were, where they came from, and, to love them more than I ever had. Because at one point I thought when I went in, I was like, I'm from America, I know it all. Man, your English whack. But then, I mean, I got to learn more, open my mind. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, Mom, this is where you came from?
Yeah.
I have a whole different respect for you.
Let's talk about your very first viral TikTok video. That I consider it a viral video because you had about 600,000 views in it.
Mm.
It's the balut. It's the balloon video.
Wow, you like guys do your research. I'm so proud.
Right, the duck abortion video.
The duck abortion.
Yes.
Duck abortion.
Never heard of it that way, but okay.
It is a duck abortion.
I mean, yes.
So are there any food? So when you went to the Philippines, whether the first time or the second time you went to the Philippines, like any food that you tried? And I was like, I don't know if I can try this again,
No. I think for me it was the opposite. I felt like a lot of the Filipino foods that are like cooked in Canada, it's like to accommodate a Western palate, mm-hmm. right? Like adobo is like a teriyaki, and like kare kare is like an oxtail stew. Like it's just like, it's familiar taste. You're like, this is different, but I recognize this.
Yeah.
And it's just like, the first thing that we did was like, we went to like the street market, and you see like this is the street food called isaw. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Of course, it's for those coming, like watching in, it's just it's chicken intestine that's like wrapped around and like grilled on a stick.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, so good. Like,
what
it's just is that? Medicine,
and then they're like put it in like a plastic cup, and they're like, you want sauce?
Yeah.
It's like sauce. I was like, all right, hook me up. And there's like spicy vinegar and like sweet sauce if you want.
Right.
And it like stares you in the face, and I was like, damn, I'm about to eat the insides of something that I eat. Like, I'm eating the thing that my thing eats.
Yeah.
And then like I eat it, and I was like, this is so good. This is like, why have I been gatekeeping this? I've been lied to. I'm tired of adobo.
Love
I want to eat chicken intestine. I want to eat pork face. I want to eat, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then there's like, there's like,
oh man,
like, he said the pork blood face. Squares,
like, oh my God. Pork blood?
Yes.
It's such a foreign concept. It's like pork blood that's congealed in squares. And
it's chocolate jello.
Chocolate jello.
This is amazing.
Love it.
Yeah. So I would. that's what I'm missing the most about the film. Just like, I was like, yeah, like there's no way the FDA is gonna allow us to.
Oh no, not at all.
Do you know what I mean?
No. Especially now, with COVID and all that. It's like you're eating blood? Okay. Good luck. Yeah.
I have a question for both of you, because like, I'm sorry, you have to remind me. I feel like I still don't know what your names are.
It's CB. I'm CB, and this is Waka. We usually introduce ourselves before the beginning of the podcast.
No. We got too excited we just went with it.
Like, no, you're good. But for like you, CB, like our journeys are reversed,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you're Philippines coming like Filipino coming here, and mm-hmm. I was like, I was born here, going to the Philippines. Like, how what do you feel like for you are the differences are, and like, do you feel like there's more toxic attributes that you feel here, or more like toxic attributes that you find back home, or do you feel it's the same?
The so it depends on the community around the, you know, the states. So in the where I live in Michigan, there's not really a lot of Filipinos. So whenever we see Filipinos, we get too excited. I'm right. Like, oh my gosh, you're a Filipino? Can you speak Tagalog? Can you say, you know, and then you start cussing each other.
No, we're beside them, but okay.
I know, exactly. You know, it's like, holy smokes, like you're Filipino. Like, oh my gosh, I got to invite you to my house. And like, no, I'm just visiting here. It's like, I don't care. You're going to stay in my house, you know, because that's how excited we are. Until we went to Chicago. We went to Chicago. And there's a bigger, you know, bigger Filipino community out there. And they're so used to Filipinos that I remember my dad going to this restaurant. It's like a buffet, right? And my dad saw one of the waiter, and it's Filipino because it's a Filipino restaurant. And he's so excited to see this guy. It's like shaking his hand, asking him questions. The guy was just, okay, well, all right. See you guys. Thank you. It's like, wait, what is going on? Like, why are we not excited to see each other? We are Filipinos in a different country. And I think they're just used to see Filipinos all the time that it feels like, oh, this is just normal to me. You know, it's like, it's like a white person seeing another white person. It's like, I'm not going to say hi to you because you're like, you know, you're just like me, you know? Okay. So I don't think it was toxic, but it's just in a way of saying like, okay, I'm just not excited to see you. Now, when it comes to Filipinos, we haven't back to the Philippines since we moved here. We were planning to last year, but because of COVID and all that, it prevented us to go and visit. But I noticed, messaging a lot of my Filipino friends, I have this thing of I'm trying to, when I message them and I talk to them, I try not to speak in English, because I feel like there's this notion that when you speak in English and you speak English so perfectly, now I don't want to say I speak English perfectly, but without the less of the Tagalog accent, people tend to stay away from you or not talk to you and things like that, you know. It's like, and I didn't want that. Yeah, Martisha, or he's too boastful now that he lives in America, so he you know, he doesn't speak Tagalog anymore. I'm like, well, I didn't want that. But it's just subconsciously people start thinking that, you know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, I just moved here. It's not even my fault that I moved here. My parents moved here and I had to go with them, you know? But yeah, and I had to communicate with the people around here. I can't just talk to them in Tagalog. I have to learn English, you know?
Right.
But yeah.
Like for you, Waka, like, I know there's similarities, but like for you to even be on this podcast, like, I know it's the Filipino culture is part of who you are, but why resonate so much with a culture that isn't even primarily like part of your ethnic identity?
The impression it gave me when I first arrived there. So when I got there, I didn't know what to expect. I was the way it happened to me, like, someone from another country came in, talked about the Philippines, you know, in the middle of looking for where to go after high school. He said something about the Philippines. I'm going to go there. Didn't give it a second thought. Nope, no second thought. I'm like, I'm going to go there. Booked my ticket, got on the plane. The moment I got on the plane, halfway there, that's when I had second thoughts. I'm like, oh, man, what am I going to get myself into?
Yeah,
right. I'm leaving my family. I mean, I spent my whole life in America with my family. I'm just leaving. No, I know nobody. Nobody up in the Philippines.
Yeah.
I have no family. It's just me going up there. I went. And then, but no regrets when I touched down. But my experiences when I got there, I was when I arrived in the airport, I kid you not, that I was going to walk into a jungle. When the door opened, I was like, oh, they have glass doors and glass windows.
Oh my god!
No, I would not joke. I mean, I really thought I was going to walk into a jungle, like into the trees and something like that. Because that's how it is when you go to Samoa, when you land in from an international airport, because we only have one spot. And when you touch down, the door open, you see a building, but a bunch of trees.
Yeah.
But anyway, but other than that, my experiences that I got from the Philippines is that people are just family oriented, loving, caring. Of course, they're smart. I mean, I cannot meet to their standards of smartness, but yeah, they're funny. They know how to laugh it through the struggles. Like, you look at all the slums. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know that they wish they had lived a better life, but they smile right through it. Yeah. Even through heavy storms. One day, and it happened on my a day before my birthday. I don't know if you heard of the Ondoy, the storm that happened. That happened in what, 2000?
Sure.
Somewhere yeah. years back, a hurricane hit and it hit hard because it was heavy rain and it flooded a lot of places. And then the next day, we heard bad news about many lives were dead and this and that. And then I walk outside, you know, I'm thinking, waiting for mourning and crying. I mean, granted, it didn't affect them, but I see a kid swimming in a dirty flood and calling me out, Waka! Waka! Come swim! Come swim! I'm like,
no.
I'm good.
No.
Okay. Enjoy yourself. I'm good.
Enjoy yourself. Right.
But no, yeah. I love my experiences there. Then I started to know a little bit more about myself because when I was out here with my family and all, I realized that I've lived a life being someone that isn't me. And I'm not saying that or anything like that. I just had to show up in front of everybody. Like I had to fake smile in front of them. I had to do this and do that. You know, be somebody that they expect me to be, but they didn't know that was me. So when I got there, I had no one to show face to. I mean, like, my family's not there. I don't have to act like a good boy. Mm-hmm. And so I started to learn even more about myself and got to know other people. I was like, man, this is awesome. I mean, I'm actually living my life. And it all happened in the Philippines. I mean, again, my first experiences going to Samoa opened up a lot of things, but going to the Philippines. Going to the Philippines. Sorry, I'm saying it so fast. I have the tendency of eating my words, and this guy make fun of me, but it's all good.
He eats his words and forgets how to breathe at the same time.
Okay. You know my reason.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, anyway. Nah. But yeah, in summary, it's just that the people I encountered and become family to them, I mean, they took me in. They adopted me as one of their own in their family, and it was a great experience. And I love the people in the Philippines. The Philippines is just like my home, just
yeah.
right next to Samoa. It's just my other home. If I walk back there, they'll accept me just how it was yesterday, or as if it was yesterday.
Mm. So you speak English, Tagalog, and French, right?
Oui.
Yeah, and you're like fluent in all three different languages, all of those three languages?
I would say that I was fluent up until the point that I came to the Philippines. Mm. And that's just the difficulty of like
right.
language right. acquisition.
Yeah.
It's because
yeah.
you spend so much time. And then like, I remember meeting a Congolese family in the Philippines. They're from the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "Como ça va?" And and then like, I visited them after a few years when I was going back home and they were like, "Ça va?" And I was like, "Uh-oh." And they're like, "Qua?"
right.
French accent. And it's like, so I still read in French.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
I can still fluently understand French,
yeah.
but I don't have the confidence that I used
right.
to. But the trade-off was I got to learn my own native tongue. So I don't
nice.
Have...
But why? So I was just curious because I know in Canada, there are some cities in Canada that you have to learn French, but I don't think it's required in Toronto, is it?
I would. Yes.
Mm.
So in the province of Quebec,
mm-hmm.
which is where French migrants first
yeah.
came to Canada, and like, they're almost like the Texas of Canada. They're like, they want to be like our own government.
Yes.
So
like, I love the reference.
Like, but they are French and they want their own laws.
Yeah, yeah. So, I love it. I love the reference. That is awesome.
I'm sorry. I'm doing so many accents.
No,
you're good. You're good.
Thank you. And so, yes, just because of the history of that province,
mm-hmm.
You will meet people there and they don't speak English at all. Or like if you try to,
right
but here in Toronto it's It's more loosey-goosey. You can choose.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, we're going to put our son into a government job when he's older. Yeah, he needs to know. Yeah. That never happened. that was a mistake. that caused some serious, like,
right.
Cultural identity issues.
Yeah. Right. Do you say a boot? An out in a boot?
I think people in the West.
Oh. Like,
in the boonies.
Gotcha.
Like, Alberta to Canada is like Montana.
yeah, gotcha.
It's just like, and then people like be like, you're from Toronto, and I was like, yeah, and like, you sound just like us. It's like, oh, maybe it's because we're an hour and a half away.
Right. my favorite question,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, my favorite question is, hey, what's the native language in Canada? English.
Yeah.
How come you speak English very well? Like, where are you from? I'm from Canada.
Boy, you better.
Yeah, we speak English there. That's always my favorite. One of the videos that I saw is you were this is so true though. It's so true, like 100% true. You were trying to like what was it? Trying to hit on a Filipina. Whoa. And it's just a green screen of Filipina girl, and then a white old guy is like, "Hi, mahal." I was like,
and then
"This
the
is
Filipino
so true."
Like, ooh.
Yeah, I know. I was like, "It is so true, though." And then the reason why I asked that. So when you went to the Philippines, how old were you when you went there like the second time? Because you said the first time you were like 13, right?
Yeah, I was 19.
So you were 19. How were you with the Filipina girls when you went there?
I don't know, like I didn't have romantic intentions and I knew that I was gonna dip in a few years, so like for me it's like I had no interest.
Well, because I know like Filipina girls, as soon as they hear a different accent or someone can speak English or this and different status, because you talked about, you know, classism, you're instant, that's like you go from 10% to like 95 right away. Right.
Yeah, I think like the first thing was like I was othered.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like what I was talking about in that video. It's like, this person isn't a Filipino. Like, he might be kind of cute, but he's an imposter. I'm not even into him.
Gotcha. Wow.
So that was like, but once I like became fluent in Tagalog, I don't know. I didn't have romantic interest while I was there.
No,
this is kind of hard to answer, but
to touch on
that video, like I met with families where they would actually express, like, I was like, hey, how's your daughter? Like, how's Joy? And they're like, oh, wow, we're kind of worried.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why? What's wrong? I thought she had a new boyfriend. And it's like, and they're like, yeah, she does. It's like, where's he from? He's like, oh, he's from the US.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I like had to take a moment to like, realize, like, think about, like, why is that a problem?
Yeah.
And then I realize it's like, it's because we have people from the West coming to the Philippines to exploit Filipino women.
Mm-hmm.
To get someone who's like good looking and young and like eager to start, like, have like a new opportunity for her family.
Yeah.
And bringing them home.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, we don't like him. Like, we know what his intentions are, but like, she's so in love. And I was like, wow. So that video was less about like, oh, these darn white people are taking our women. Like I could care less if you're really in love.
Yeah.
I have a real problem when you recognize that a developing country is desperate for an opportunity and you're using that to exploit for your own sexual interest. You know what I mean?
No, I totally get it. And this is, I think this is a good opportunity to shift and transition to, and I think it was really important. You just mentioned, Matt just mentioned earlier that he started this Instagram account or this whole, should I say advocation or advocacy? Yeah, right? And it's called, and I would want you to explain it more. And I thought it was really, really good. And it's called At Nice Club, or Not Nice Club, Not Nice Club. It's on Instagram. It's called Not Nice Club. So explain to us more about this.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. So that was a great timing.
People actually care about me.
Oh, man. That's good.
When COVID hit in 2020, I think, like, the one thing that I could never anticipate for was, like, the social consequences of COVID. So, like, of course, there was job loss and people were getting sick and dying. Mm-hmm. But immediately things got flipped on its head when people were looking for someone to blame.
Yeah.
And when COVID hit, I think people automatically turned towards the East, like mm-hmm. towards China, just because like mm-hmm. of a bat and like it. And there was so much anti-Asian racism that spawned because of COVID. I mean, an increase of 250 self-reports of domestic violence towards Asian women, and the shooting in Atlanta, and Vicha got murdered, and mm-hmm. people were looking for someone to blame. And me and my friends were kind of looking at this happening and like watching like people dying who looked like us, and we're like, what are we gonna do about this?
Yeah.
And we sat down and we had a conversation, like, what is the best way to even go about this? Like, do we fundraise? Mm-hmm. You know, like, well, that's one way. I mean, you develop like the money and it goes into like some nonprofit and you never see it again.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what's the real, real way? And then the answer that we came up with was to create a product that could change the way people think. That was like so embedded in culture that it could change the way people think. And that happened to be fashion. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. fashion is such like a potent tool. It can say like who you are. Mm-hmm. And what you represent and what your values are and what your interests, everything from like a Gangnam Style t-shirt yeah. from Hot Topic mm-hmm. to like, oh, like that's like Givenchy. And like it can say like what your income is. And it's just like, if we could create a collection of clothing that was inspired by like Asian elements of design, it could create positive change towards like dialogue towards the Asian community. Mm-hmm. And so we started Not Nice Club, this fashion brand that was fueled by Asian elements of design with my business partner from Japan. Mm. And in 2 years, it got into 30 countries.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it was really cool. Like, once we like tackled that issue, it's like, okay, is this the only racial issue we want to tackle? Like, mm-hmm. isn't this bigger than us? And like, we had to like meet with other members of other communities and be like, maybe we have to start thinking larger than just the Asian community.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to create pieces to help fight for like Black racial equity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
And we like fundraised for like the Federation of Black Canadians and things like that. So Not Nice Club is my baby in the sense that I'm very much about social equity.
Yeah, and, yeah. Yeah, that I mean, that was wonderful. When you sent me that, I was like, dude, this is amazing. I mean, it's nothing that, you know, it's something that we haven't seen before, especially tackling it in that way, because we know fashion exists everywhere, you know.
Right.
Like it's the same dynamic as music. Like music and fashion works hand in hand. Like if you see people singing, like artists will have their own fashion, you know, fashion setup. It's like, yeah. In itself, it's an art form. So if you tackle anything that a controversial thing that or advocacy and you put it in fashion, it makes so much sense because it's a universal language. You know, people can understand clothing. People can understand the way you're dressed. So now if you put a message into that, it is powerful. It is powerful. And I loved it. Have you guys seen any changes or any feedback from this? So far,
yeah, it was that primary shift that I was talking about, where we realized that like to fight for racial equity mm-hmm. is not to narrow down. Mm. Like, of course, that was needed, yeah. especially during COVID when like anti-Asian racism was very much funneled towards our community. But like as things begin to die down, it's like this is bigger than us.
Yeah.
Also, like our traditional branding, just because of my business partner from Japan, like. We went by like Japanese elements of design strictly. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
Japanese moniker was like by the Japanese name, like Yancha Kurabu. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, as time went on, we're like thinking about the Asian identity, and it's like, isn't it bigger than Japan?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
and we started thinking about like, are Chinese people, are like Southeast Asian people being represented? Mm-hmm. So we've had to literally like strip things away that make things so narrow. Like whenever we think about Asian people, like we're like, oh yeah, like China and Korea and Japan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Even... yeah. I know.
Like you're like, Cambodia, what's that?
right.
You're telling me Taiwan and Thailand are two different things.
You know what I mean? I tell people that all the time. And like when I tell them, you know, like Asians are not just Chinese, Koreans, Japanese, you know?
Like, isn't it so, like, going back to the Filipino identity, like, isn't it kind of, like, confusing for people when they meet you? They're like, all right, this person's got a Hispanic last name.
Yeah.
And they got brown skin. But you look Asian.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I feel like whenever I make fun of white people, I have to use that.
You have to use the accent.
How many, speaking of which, how many like people have ever asked you, what are you? Like, that's always my favorite question, you know? Like, so much, right? Like, they look at you, it's like, what are you? And like, what do you mean, what are you?
Not even who are you?
I know. Because like, I don't think, because, and then I thought about it, like, why do they ask it that way? And I thought about, it's like, there's no proper way of asking someone without being sounding racist, you know, asking someone, where are you from? Because if you ask them, where are you from? They're like, oh, I'm from, you know, I'm from Michigan. No. Like originally, like, yeah. What do you mean? Like from my mom? Like I came from my mom. Is that what you're trying to say? But how many, like, have they ever asked you, are you Mexican or are you this? Are you that? Like, what are like common race or? Mm.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I remember when I lived in the US for school, like just having to explain like what a Filipino was and like why we have like Asian like phenotypes. Like,
yeah,
we have Asian features, but we have brown skin, but like Spanish last name. Just trying to like break down like 300 years of like history to like an American. Mm-hmm. Just like waiting for them to like process it. And they're like, but you're from Canada, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. And you're still processing it. And you're like, so you're a snow Mexican. No.
I never did that one, but okay.
I know, me too. I've never heard that one before.
I think the funniest story I ever was one of my friends who also came out to the US to study and came across that exact same scenario that you're talking about, where someone from the West doesn't know how to ask that question. Mm-hmm. And so he was there and this middle-aged white man came up to him and was like, listen, I have a question for you, but I don't know how to ask it. And he goes about asking like, where are you from? And then he obviously isn't answering it properly. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to say this. Please don't judge me. Like, I really want you to educate me. And I'm glad that he prefaced that question.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah.
Because it means he wants to learn. And he said, why are you brown? Why are you brown? And then my friend, like, having to like take in what was just said and taking a moment to breathe, and out of his stomach finding the humor to say, I was left in the oven for too long.
Oh, no. I think that's something that you would say.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's something that he would say for sure. That would be his response to people. If someone asked him, why are you brown? That would be something that he would say.
Why are you brown? But like, that was, I love the way that he prefaced that question where he said, he came in a position where he's like, I don't know. And there's a gap between what I want to know and how to go about asking it. And I would like to know how to ask it. And that's when I think the most effective way to ask is like, what is your ethnicity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me about your cultural heritage.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah.
But are you brown? Like, what?
Why are you brown?
Why are you brown? Hey, why is your skin like that? You know? that is something that we are trying to my wife and I, we have two kids. We have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and of course they're half Filipinos. And I was telling one of our kids, and I told her, the oldest one, I said, you know you're Filipino, right? Because she's watching Dora and things like that. And she's like, I want to learn Spanish. Well, like, before you learn Spanish, I'm going to teach you Tagalog. He's like, I don't want to learn that. I want to be Spanish. I said, you do know you're, right? And I was like, you do know you're Filipino, right? She's like, no, I'm not. No, you are Filipino. Yeah. And that's when I realized, like, wait, I gotta teach my kids about my culture, you know? Yeah. They gotta learn about my culture. One thing that my parents and I, when we moved here, because all of us moved here 2012, one of our main rule is we can speak English all we want outside of our home, but when we get home, all Tagalog, like pure Tagalog, so we don't lose the accent, we don't lose everything. We're still learning, and we watch news. We actually watch news that's in the Philippines, not here. There are times that we don't even know what's going on here. We just know.
Yes.
There
you go. There you go.
That's right.
Wrecking news.
Oh my gosh. Do you have a Filipino community around your area?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But like. And this goes back to the TikTok, like, we do have a lot of like first generation parents, but like that's not who I'm interacting with. I'm interacting with the people in my generation.
Yeah.
And like they're all like me, where it's like we've all been disconnected.
Yeah.
And we're all hungry for it. And like the closest thing we can do is like meet up for karaoke or like Kamayan.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
like Jollibee.
Yeah.
Like, this is okay for that.
Yeah.
So it's the community here exists and it's hungry, but it's not as informed as I think it's.
Gotcha. Man, dude, we wanna get to know you more, and we wanna see you in person. Maybe when we go to Canada, you know, we'll come and hang out. We're looking for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Tell people where to find your because I told him the not your Instagram, right? Tell people more where can people find you, where can get the merch, and how they can help more in this advocacy.
Oh, sure. Thanks so much. Yeah. You can follow us at Not Nice Club or www.notnice.club. And if you have any questions for me, my Instagram handle, it has a swear word in it.
Oh, no, that's fine. You can go definitely do that. Yeah.
Okay. It's at fuck lil info.
Yes. Yes.
That's my
username. Yeah.
I'm so grateful for the opportunity to meet both of you and to hear your stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. We will link all of his handles, TikTok, Instagram, including the at Not Nice Club in the bio, and you guys can click there and come follow him and get to know him more and all of that. You are definitely one of a kind. We've interviewed a handful of Filipinos in this podcast, but you're definitely one of a kind, and we love
it.
We'll definitely do it again for sure. We'll definitely do it again. And especially because this is one thing that we want to do too. If there's any controversies or anything that we Filipinos need to talk about, especially that's happening here outside of the Philippines, you know. But we don't know anybody that we can talk to. We don't know any other Filipinos around our area that we can, hey, let's have this conversation that's going on right now in America or Canada that needs to be, you know, that needs to be addressed. So if there's something like that, we'll hit you up for sure. And like, hey, there's this thing and it's big. Let's talk about it. You know, let's give like opinions. Let's share what are our thoughts about this, so people can, you know, people would know.
Right.
Yeah.
If there's anything like I'm sorry, I'm going over, but
no, go ahead.
If there's anything I've learned from that video, it's like what should have been like Filipino pride in our generation has by and large turned into shame. Just because like we're so disconnected.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like to see 3,000 people comment and be like, yeah, I feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Right.
This problem is bigger than I thought.
Right. No, seriously. Yeah, because I was going to ask you too. I was going to ask you, did you have like a backlash because of that video? And is it from the Filipinos? Like Filipinos from the Philippines or Filipinos here? I don't even know if you would know.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, like, I would say 95% of the comments there were people echoing my sentiments.
Mm-hmm.
But 5% of the people, I would say, were people who really perpetuated, like, the negative feelings that I had. I think, like, one of the recurring comments that I saw was, like, shame on your parents. And it's just, like, I hope people realize that, like, although, like, this was my parents' decision, like, this is a lot of people's parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a generational issue. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and then the second thing was like, this is so easy for you to complain as like a Filipino from a first world country. Like, this is a first world person's problem.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have nothing to complain. Come to the Philippines and we'll talk about problems.
Right. Right.
And it's just like,
wow.
I think that was the thing that like got me in the gut where I was like, should I even be complaining?
Right.
Like,
right.
I have hot water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and it's like, I mean, are they right? Mm. And then just the other thing was like, I think one of the most hurtful comments was, and I know that these are just trolls, but for people to say like, you aren't Filipino. Mm.
Yeah. I've seen that before. Dude, that is not even true. That's not even true at all. I mean, you're more Filipino than a lot of Filipino that I know. I mean, like, I gotta be honest, you know what I mean? You know? And I mean, that's totally not true. I mean, I even take Bruno Mars as Filipino, you know, even though he's half Filipino, he is Filipino. You know? And all of these Filipinos out there, even though, and I'm talking to you, who's ever watching this video, if even though you're trying your best to be not Filipino, whether whatever culture it may be, Western, Japanese, if you're like wearing cosplay and trying to be a manga anime character,
you can't run away from your roots, man.
Yeah, we'll still take you. You know, we'll still take you in Kamayan, and we'll still we'll still grab your hand in Manapo if you're older than us, you know, and things like that. But we want to say thank you to our guest, Maddie. Thank you so much for doing this episode. And again, this is not going to be the last time we're doing this for sure. We will invite you again. We'll hit you up.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We hit you up. Yes. Well, thank you so much for watching this. If you guys want to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, just look for The Maximum Filipino Show. You guys can also email us, themaximumfilipinoshow@gmail.com. And Maddie, go follow him. We follow him there. And
yeah.
Yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this podcast as much as we recorded it. man, Maddie, again, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye-bye, peeps.
Joelle.